Good evening, everybody. Thank you all for being here and to our guests who have come. I'll just start by pointing out I am a little deaf at the moment. I'm having my ears hoovered out tomorrow. But prior to that, I've had to put lots of olive oil in them, so I'm totally bunged up with olive oil at the moment. I'm like an Italian salad in here. So please use the mics and don't switch the mic on and then lean right back in your seat so it doesn't pick you up.
Don't worry, we'll shout in time.
Or shout, yes. Okay, thank you all for coming, and I need to start the agenda. I've got all the applications here, but I need to actually do the agenda. This is it, we just go straight into the...
We've got a couple of items first.
Okay. First item is apologies for absence. And
we've had apologies from Councillor Joy Whipps, Councillor Angela Boatwright, Councillor Alex Steek, and Councillor Mark Williamson. Are there any others? They haven't sent apologies, so I don't know if they are attending or not. But
can I just add, I think Councillor Andrew Coleman is away. I think he's been Facebooking from France.
Okay, so we'll note his apologies then. And thanks, Tim. Okay.
Right. Oh, that's what confused me. It was the date at the top. I just suddenly thought I'm looking at an old agenda here. That's fine.
Yep.
Okay, so next is the minutes from the last meeting held on the 12th of June. Do we have a proposal for those or any? Yep, thank you, Joe. Seconded, Steve, thank you. So those are all okay. Do we have any matters arising recently?
No.
Declarations of pecuniary interest and any dispensations. Do we have any declarations of pecuniary interest?
No. Okay.
Okay. I'll just say some of the candidates tonight are known to me. If you've lived in Exmouth for 40 years, I think probably a lot of people are known to you, and I think that's probably the case for many of us. But it does not affect my judgment in any way. I don't think we've got a part two on the agenda, no. We are receiving written applications for the office of town councillor and to co-opt a candidate to fill the existing vacancy. I must say, having read through the applications, I think it's going to be really hard to choose. I thought maybe the best thing would be if we all just resigned en masse. I said to them, you're so much better qualified than any of us. We'll just hand over. But unfortunately, we can't do that. So we will therefore go to the applications.
Do you want me just... Is everybody comfortable with the process? We did send an email out today confirming the process. Each of the candidates will be invited to come and introduce themselves. You've all had copies of the application form. I think Ollie's going to allow some time for questions for each candidate, but we will limit that, otherwise we're going to be here all night. At the end of that process, Ollie will seek proposals and seconders for individual candidates. And then those candidates that have successfully been proposed and seconded will then go to a vote. And we'll do that on a recorded vote basis. So Chetna will go around the room and ask you which candidate you want to vote for. The successful candidate has to get at least 50% of the votes of those present here. So I think there's 16 of you. So somebody needs to get a clear majority of 9 on the first round, or we will eliminate the person with the least number of votes, and then we'll take a second round of voting. All right? Because the legislation states that the successful applicant has to get at least 50% of the votes of those present and voting. All right. Maddie?
Yes, I'm not happy with voting with the candidates in the room.
So
I don't think that's very nice.
No,
maybe
so
they could go out and have a coffee or something.
So we did seek advice on this, and because it's a public meeting, I mean, if they don't feel comfortable, they are able to leave. But because it's a public meeting, it doesn't meet the criteria for Part B, so we can't ask people to leave Katmaddy. So if they're if the candidates are uncomfortable, then happy for you to wait outside. But in terms of the voting process, it's supposed to be completely transparent. And it was when we went through the co-option process before, if you remember, for with the Camarali ward.
But
all
I
right.
know some people feel a bit uncomfortable.
Lisa, because I can only see four people there, does that mean you've only now got four?
No, so the other two candidates had asked for their applications to be considered, even though they weren't able to attend tonight. Three candidates, actually. So there's seven in total.
Seven
in total. So they have asked for their applications to be considered, even though they're not present.
Have we got that information, who they are?
So in the pack that was sent out to you, that Molly sent out this afternoon with the applications, there are seven applications there for the seven candidates that wished to be considered.
Right. Okay.
She sent that out about 1:30 this afternoon.
Did it actually say which ones? By process of elimination.
Yeah. No. So the pack that you've been sent today is a reduced pack that only has the application forms of the ones that So there's four ladies and three men. So it's the three.
So four ladies, the three men are not. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Yes, that is the case. Okay. So is everybody clear on process? Yes? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we call our first candidate, please, who is Diane Conduit. If I pronounce that correctly.
So we're giving everybody 5 minutes. The timer will beep at the end of the 5 minutes, but don't worry too much if you run over.
Okay.
And then Ollie will invite questions from the floor afterwards.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, my name is Diane. Why am I here? I'm glad to have a good think about that. I'm passionate about Exmouth and the people that live, work, and study and visit here. My accent doesn't sound like it, but I have got local roots. My mum's from an East Devon farming family, and my dad was from Nottinghamshire, so that's where I was till I was 17, until I came down to the RD&E and did my nose training many, many decades ago. So I was brought up in quite tough mining communities, so I've sort of seen lots of different cultures. My daughter's a GP, I've got two grandchildren at Beacon School, I have an allotment. Enjoy gardening, running, and seesawing. I've worked clinically, managerially, and as a director at all levels of the NHS, including the Department of Health in NHS England. So I've worked as a commissioner and in hospitals and as a provider. I've also worked in the corporate world with health and social care, particularly around data and information technology and technical assistance for care in some big companies. And I also have my own consulting business, which I wound up this year. I'm also the founding director of an executive coaching organisation, and I'm also a chair and a volunteer support worker with Open Door Exmouth. And there I see the need and the challenges and opportunities all through the door every day, so I've got quite a good feel for what some of the issues are, what some of the opportunities are in Exmouth. I was previously a trustee with Young Devon as well, so I did that for 9 years, and I was chair for the last 3 years, and that's still a very successful and growing organisation across Devon. I'm an enthusiastic, knowledgeable and skilled leader and a role model, and I always act with integrity and transparency, integrity, knowing principles. I actually agree with those and always have. I've worked extensively with NHS boards, local authorities, third sector regulators such as Ofsted and the CQC, civil servants and ministers. But I think more importantly, I can engage and motivate and inspire people to improve participation in co-production, because that's what I've been doing a lot of with local authorities, health, social care, education, with a lot of multi-agency projects and programmes that I've been working with. And I think that's about how we improve services in communities, health and wellbeing, organisation effectiveness, and improve the transparency and governance of organisations, again, which I think is really important in this day and age. Some key things that I've done, the patient centrometer, I think that was the greatest achievement with the cross-regional citizens task force, where we developed the measures for looking at how people feel about the quality of experiences in health and care, looking at access, outcomes and little things that matter, and that became the foundation for the Care Quality Commission's process and the system. So that's one thing I'm really proud of, and the people that I worked with were phenomenal. I was the lead director for integration and multidisciplinary work in team development when in Torbay Integrated Health and Social Care as well. I've worked on strategic planning, so I led the planning for winter and emergency planning for 3 years for the whole of the Trent region. So that was a big multi-agency and very political as well, as you can imagine. Done a lot of community engagement work, so when health services want to be changed, I've got local authorities that ask me to go and test out all the travel times. Okay, are services accessible? Are the times of the services right? Can we actually do more care at home? So using telehealth and telecare. One of the other things that I have done, and this was in my personal life, was I was involved with the development of the Teambridge 20-year plan, when I saw a lot of unsympathetic development because there hadn't been a plan for Newton Abbott. So did a lot of work between 2013 and 2016 with local action groups, the council and councillors around that, the planners. Also, what can I offer? I can offer experience, skills, wisdom and time, because I'm actually producing and stopping my paid work. I've got pride, I'm proud of my honesty, integrity, fairness, enthusiasm and energy to get things done. I also love problem solving. What's in it for me? Well, being of service is in my DNA, as you can imagine, being a nurse from 17. That's what I do. And to be able to give something back to the community that I love being in, I want to be able to make a difference, and I want to be able to continue to learn and be excited about life. So thank you for your time, thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, Diane. 3 seconds to go. That was impressive timing. Well done. Okay, do we have any questions? We've got a few minutes for questions only. Mike?
Thanks for your presentation, it's really good. What's your views on climate change?
I think it's really important that we take it seriously and do everything we can to mitigate it and manage it.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Tim?
Yeah, thank you, Diane, for your presentation. Excellent. I just wondered, this is your first actual venture into being a representative, if you like, in terms of councillor.
Yeah.
I hope you don't get disillusioned by the fact that it seems to be a slow process and that kind of thing. Have you, when you were in Teambridge, did you experience any of that?
Oh, yes. And I've also worked a lot with local authorities and members as well, so you know, going to health and human scrutiny committees and various, yeah. And I've worked with a lot, so I've seen a range of ways that councils, different councils work and different cultures.
Maddie?
Hi.
Hi.
If you were asked, what is the one thing, just one thing, that you would like to do tonight to wave a wand and make it happen in Exmouth? One thing that is your priority tonight.
I'd like to get appropriate housing for everybody that needs it.
Get what?
Appropriate housing for everybody that needs it, but it's that balance between development and then protecting. in our green spaces and what
social housing and
yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Right, thank you.
Fred.
So next we have Jody Wilkes.
So when we first moved down, we were here for 6 months, and I took a job in care because we just needed a little bit of income at that time while we found our feet. So I worked with adults with learning disabilities, and this was something I was comfortable with because for the 10 years prior to that, I had been involved with a charity, Holidays with Help, and we do holidays for disabled adults. Unfortunately, the home I went into was very poor. It was heartbreaking, and quickly, and I'm grateful for this, it was shut down and those people went to better places, but I was redeployed from that company to a home that was excellent care. However, within this first year we'd heard on the grapevine that those five adults that were living together and have been together for 20 years, so we're essentially a family, were going to be redispersed within just other homes without consultation. So the manager at that time and myself, we bought a house in Exeter, and opened a business, and those five adults moved in and still to this day live there. Within those 5 years of running that business, I had two children, and trying to give everything to the company and to my family just wasn't working. So I sold my share in the business to concentrate on my family. Now during the time I'd had my first son, I volunteered. Trained up to be a volunteer for the local breastfeeding group, and we, whilst running the business, I was doing that on the side as well. And then when I stepped away from the business, an opportunity came up to work with the local children's centre, 2 hours a week running the group, which I did. And then very soon I was working 16 hours with all different families from all different backgrounds, working with young families, running lots of different groups. I was asked to run the antenatal services alongside the health, the midwifery team, and was running new parent groups with young families with the health visitor team. So I worked really closely with that kind of department. And then in 2018-2019, huge government changes, budget cuts. The universal services, which are services that everybody could access, were cut, and all the groups that I was running and seeing the value of were set to close. So I decided to leave my employment and take on a self-employed basis and try to keep as many of those groups running for the community as I could, which is what I'm still doing today. So I run as a sole trader for Nurture East Devon, and we run parent and toddler groups. And I just want to stress that parent and toddler groups aren't just parent and toddler groups, they're vital sources of networking support for families locally. I also incorporated the breastfeeding group, which I've now been involved with since 2009, into a community interest company, so it's a not-for-profit organisation. because I wanted to protect it, make it robust from being subject to changes in government, changes in funding. We are now self-funded, we've been supported by the Freemasons, local companies have been sponsoring us, and we've just received a large grant from the National Lottery, which secures our future for the next year and a half. During that time as well, I was approached by two women in Exeter, and we've incorporated another community interest company that runs in Exeter East Devon called the South West, and we support women and girls through the three main transitions in life, so menstruation, pregnancy, birth and menopause, with peer support. But all of these groups, although it sounds very busy, is all with me around a good work-life balance. You know, I think that's really important for everybody. But from that, you know, why me? Why would I fit in here? And I just think I would love the opportunity to work with the board to make Exmouth the best it can be. And when doing this application, everything I've done, although it's a bit varied, the thread is people and community. Wow. Thank you very much.
I didn't know it was going to beep, I thought it was the fire alarm.
All right, Ali, are you all right?
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any questions for Jodie? Nadia.
Evening, Jodie. I shall ask you the same question. If you had a magic wand and you could change something in Exmouth straight tonight, now, and make it better, in your view, what would it be?
In my view, I would have a community centre. I can't believe a town of this size doesn't have one central community centre where we can pull in all resources. And work, you know, with the children's centre I worked with for 7 years, and we had spent so long debunking the myth that we were social care and really getting in to work with families, modelling of good parenting behaviour, because we know the research shows that that early, even prenatal time is so important for the mental health and well-being of those children and those families. So to have a central location where we had family services, counsellors, food bank, you know, all these brilliant organisations which I work with, Open Door, Food Bank, Transition Exmouth, to have something central, I know it's a dream, but I just think would do the town the world a good.
Thank you.
Mike?
Same question. Your views on climate change?
I think it's, as it said, an emergency. And it's a climate emergency, and I think it needs to be treated as such.
Can I just, any ideas about what we can do in the town?
I've loved the ideas that I've heard recently about the One Cup, the Exmouth Cup, and the toilets changing, the new hub. I think that's a great idea. I think awareness is key at the moment,
yep,
because I think a lot of families, just a lot of people don't know.
Thank you.
Tim.
Well, that's the other two of our as the other two have asked their questions, I'll ask you, Jodie, as well, the one I did, which is, you know, I don't think you've had any experience as a councillor before. Do you think, because you've obviously done a lot of public work that has revolved around councils, I hope you feel that you could exist with the sometimes slow pace of things seeming to happen?
I've worked a lot with the NHS. So trying to turn the wheels of the NHS, it's taken me 3 years to get them to recognise the one of the companies that we work with. Things take time, but if you're going to make a change, you've got to be patient and take that time.
Thank you. I think that's three really good questions, actually, that we've got there. We'll keep on doing them, shall we? Has anybody got one to add? Anybody got another one? No? No, I think those are really three useful questions. Thanks very much, Jodie.
Thank you.
Okay. Louise is next to the levels.
Just do my magic with this thing.
I describe myself as enthusiastic and deeply interested in people, as reflected by my background in psychology. I've got a positive outlook and generally think the best of people. I have a strong moral sense. I'm compassionate. I care about people from all walks of life. And I believe that individuals should be treated equally, fairly, and with respect. I'm currently a freelance copy editor for a medical journal. Prior to that, I was a research fellow in psychology and neuroscience. I've been a director of a neurofeedback company, as well as a chartered psychologist working with outpatients and members of the general public. I have an MSc in cognitive and affective neuroscience and a PhD in psychology and psychophysiology. My passions include nature and wildlife. I love being outdoors. I spend a significant amount of my time out and about, walking, running, sea swimming, cycling, paddleboarding, and I also enjoy attending local events and shows when finances permit. I've not been a town councillor before, and all this is very new to me, but I'm really keen to be involved, and I think that my background and previous ventures provide me with valuable experiences that would be relevant to such a role. I care passionately about the environment, and I've in the past submitted online petitions and rallied for support for climate crisis awareness campaigns, including a car-free day in Exeter, followed by a suggestion to promote Exeter as one of the first car-free cities. And that involved contacting the press, correspondence with many organisations, including the council, environmental groups, political parties, and various groups on social media. I've raised money for various charities, taking part in many activities such as skydiving, long distance walking, running marathons, swimming challenges, sleep outs, and even skinny dipping. And this is involved, the fundraising is involved, interacting and engaging with the public, drumming support, printing leaflets, knocking on doors, contacting the press, and disseminating the news and updates via social media. I've also helped on charity stores and community events, and I've been a help by responder for nearly 10 years, providing an ear and advice for individuals struggling to cope. Closer to home, I've planted trees in Exmouth, collected rubbish from the beach, delivered leaflets, chatted with locals about environmental issues, and I also visit local shops, leisure entertainment facilities, regularly use public transport, make a point of attending local festivals when possible to support these ventures. And I've just started a new challenge in which I aim to run 10k a day for a month in aid of Exeter friends in need. As part of my work, I've managed numerous scientific projects, designed, conducted, obtained funding for new research, disseminated the findings, and did presentations at conferences. Ethical issues and safety considerations were of the utmost importance. In my current work, good communication, time management, organisation, cooperation and delegation are essential. The use of progressive and inclusive language is crucial, as is the avoidance of language that insults, excludes or harms people. I love Exmouth, I love it. All the amazing things it has to offer, the beaches, the water, the estuary, coast path, the commons, and I love the strong sense of community and the pride that Exmouth has, and the efforts it makes to bring people together. I know how fortunate I am, and applying for this position provides potential opportunity to give something back. My interest in being here also represents an attempt to contribute to environmental efforts and adaptation strategies within Exmouth. I have energies to devote to something meaningful. I will take pleasure from providing advice and support, listening to others' points of view, and representing members of the local community at meetings. I would try and ensure that voices are heard and listened to, and the needs of individuals, including less privileged and minority populations, are sympathetically and regularly addressed. And I would endeavour to be objective and impartial in gathering individuals' views, even those that differ from my own. Exmouth is very special to me, and I want to do what I can to serve the local community and make Exmouth all it can be. I hope that if given the opportunity to be involved as a town councillor, I can support projects that enable Exmouth to continue to thrive in increasingly uncertain times, balancing the competing priorities and challenges we face now and in the future.
Thank you very much. So I have a few minutes for questions. I don't know if Mike needs to ask this question, but I was very interested in the Car Free Day in Exeter that you organised, and I wondered how you measured the success of that and how successful you felt it had been.
It didn't actually happen. It was turned down very early on. I did the whole petitioning and things, and it got to the, it got voted, it wasn't chosen. It's very difficult in practice to implement such things.
A learning experience.
It was,
then.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maddie, do you want to ask your question?
Yes, please. Hi. If you had a magic wand, same question, and you could change something tonight in Exmouth or produce something, what would it be? One thing.
Oh, it's such a difficult question. I probably would have said, and it's been said already, but I'm a part of the Facebook groups, and housing is such a major issue. So many people struggling to find somewhere. I also run past the van lifers as well, and I know that's an issue. And I like to talk to people, and it's really difficult. And maybe that's things like that are the way that people are going to be forced to go down that route, rather than because there's just nowhere available to rent.
So you go social housing.
That would certainly be on the list.
Okay, thank you.
Tim?
Yes, I think, thank you, Louise, for your presentation, by the way, excellent. I just wondered, you obviously, with your experience with having been turned down on the vote for a car-free day, you've obviously had experience of local authorities not necessarily going down routes that you would want or being slow.
Yeah.
Do you feel you could put up with that and working with in that environment?
Yeah, because after the first time, I then tried again, and I learned a lot from both experiences, and you just have to be resilient and just keep trying and try different ways and approach different people, it's all good experience.
But very important in council would be resilient. Keep coming back. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'll answer at the end when they've all given their presentations.
The next on my list is actually Martin Ridgway. But as he's not here.
So Fred's just asked what the protocol is for considering people that haven't attended in person.
Yes.
They have asked for their application to go forward, but if they're not proposed or seconded, then they wouldn't be put forward to the vote.
I feel it's important we consider as a council that we have all these applicants and four have bothered to turn up. And
yes, well,
sort of three.
I think we need to be careful about drawing conclusions from that because people may be on holiday.
Well, yeah, but we've all turned up as
whatever,
well.
I take your point, Fred. But I did just wonder, as this person has submitted an application, can I assume that everybody has read the application? We don't need to, for me to read through it or anything like that. So we'll assume that everybody has read Martin Ridgway's application. We'll move on to the next one.
So the next one is Michael Byrne. He's not here.
He hasn't come either.
No.
Okay.
And Stephen Beer is the other application.
Okay. So next turn.
You really are deaf, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sorry, could I just say, I appreciate what you say, Fraser. I do know that one of the people does have a physical disability, so maybe that he was intended to turn up but couldn't. So I think to necessarily draw that conclusion is we can't do
well,
that.
Well, I'm not drawing that as a conclusion. What I'm saying is that those people haven't turned up. These people.
I think the phrase was haven't bothered to turn up. So well, we've bothered to turn up, and I think that's it's just a little point. But that's fine.
I think we'll just leave it that we're not inferring anything from the fact that some people were unable for whatever reason to be here. I think it's important that we state that on the record, on the minutes, that we are taking no conclusions from that. So, in that case, we move on to the next candidate who is here, which is Sue Mendham.
From a second, or they can't be voted on. It shouldn't be doing.
I have that effect on electrical thing to tell you.
Right, start again.
Can I just ask Lucy before anybody starts?
Yeah.
Could they move the microphone a bit closer because it's not terribly clear, some of them.
Is that not?
Just move it a little bit closer.
Actually, it's me. It's
me. Right,
anything. Ready?
Maybe the
battery's. No, it's because you have to stand in front of me.
Well, I'll just start again. Good evening, I'm Susan. I've listened to other candidates, a hard act to follow, I must admit. I'm also sat there thinking, you had my application, and obviously you've all seen it. I did mention that I moved to Exmouth in 1986 with my husband and children. And I suddenly thought, listening to everybody else, that obviously I didn't have a life before I moved to Exmouth. But I did. It was quite a different life. I started off working for the Rock Ballet in the 60s, in the Fontaine era, travelling the world with them, which was quite exciting. And from there to the BBC Television Centre, working on such lovely shows as Malcolm and Wise and all the rest of it. But I did, after having my children, decided that I would stay at home. Found it a bit hard with only one income coming in. But I felt that if I had had children, then I should be very selfish, make the most of it. It didn't mean I stayed home knitting and baking. I did get involved in various groups, mostly under five groups. Also, in the area I lived was a very multiracial area, where you found that grandmothers and grandfathers looked after the youngsters while mum and dad went to work. And there was a lot of what they call busing the children to other schools. I managed with a Nation friend and another girl to set up a play group within the multiracial school. We also had to encourage grandmothers to come in because although the English was very little, it did help them. And also we did have sessions where I would go in, my friends would go in to help the youngsters that didn't speak English. English was their second language. And one time, I mean, here I could verbal diarrhea, I do apologise, but we had a group that six children with us, and we would do just basic simple things for them to learn languages. And I remember one little boy came out with, which was obviously a swear word, because anybody knows a swear word has that bump to it, doesn't it? And I said to him, no, not that. And by the time I came out at the end of the day, parents in the playground came over to me to say they didn't know that I spoke Urdu, which went down very well, so I kept quiet in the future after that. But then when my daughters started going to a primary school, I still carried on with my work with the amplifiers in playgroups, setting up playgroups, visiting playgroups, taking courses to become tutor, teaching people in playgroups, and I was very much for
but the under fives have so much to learn, they have so much put on them, and there's a lot of pressure, you think, from that age, not only learning walking, talking, nappy changing, but everything that there is possible to do. And I always used to think that instead of a group setting up for the morning, stopping for milk, stopping to read, that it would be a continuous morning. If they wanted milk, they had milk and biscuits. If they wanted to play, they played with everything. Everything was out, even if only four children turned up. We had the sand, we had proper hammers and saws and things, and that's it. But anyway, carrying on from that, I, as I say, then went on to the primary school and became a parent governor. And again, I was very interested in not making sure, it sounds like one's doing their own thing, but involving people. I remember we were trying to fundraise to put a playgroup in the primary school, and we had permission to use one of the rooms. The headmistress and the council obviously agreed for us to use the room. So we organised a fete, and the Saturday came with the fete, and nobody came. And we'd all worked very, very hard to get this fete together. So the Monday morning, when the little group was set up and parents came in, I was chairman of the group then, and I said, you know, we did this for your children. And they said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, we need money, we need to buy equipment, we need to buy books, we need to have things there for them to play with. And with that, I never had to ask for fates or anything again. Every Monday, a box on the side and £5, £10, £20 notes would go in. So that was the end of the fundraising, spending all week putting something together. Just ask for the money, and the money was there. And as I say, in 86, we decided that we would like to move away from London. I myself was born in the city of London, so moving down to the West Country, another world. Sorry, I should have made notes like everybody else did.
Well, we've got your application, so we've kind of got all the background already, so you've filled in a lot of detail there. Okay, Addy, go for it.
Evening, Susan. You're a little bit nervous.
I am very nervous. Calm down.
Don't fight, not really. If you had a magic wand and you could do something for Exmouth tonight, straight away, what would it be?
I think I'm being very flippant here, but the first thing I would do is update the ladies' toilets behind the Magnolia Centre car park. It's absolutely disgusting, and there's one that got stuck behind the door the other day and had to go on their hands and knees to try to open the door. We have a wonderful place in Exmouth, you know, your visitors come, they enjoy it, and then you go to that thing. I mean, it's lovely, the social house and all that, the long-term things, we have those in the pipeline when you read the paper. We've got things going on all the time, but that really does need to be prioritised.
Toilets. Thank you.
Thanks, Mandy. Mike?
Different question. On your application, you say that since 1986, Exmouth has moved forward for the best, but there are some things that you think could have been done better. Could you elaborate a bit on that?
Well, as I said, a lot of the things are ongoing. You know, you can read the local paper, you catch up with things. I must admit, but my husband, when he died very suddenly, and that little dog had to be put down, I think he fell on him. And I used to say to people, you know, when they said, oh, I'm sorry about your husband, so I miss the dog more, because you don't want to discuss anything. But my daughter's taught me to having another rescue dog, and I found taking that dog up, you meet so many people and you hear so many things that people that live in Exmouth like or dislike and want changed. And nothing has changed quickly. It takes time to change, doesn't it? But, you know, for example, today, I think people working in Exmouth, I went yesterday to get a train ticket, I had to go to Oxford, and the man in the train station was marvellous. He should have an award for being so welcoming. He sits and he welcomes everybody. He sees to what they want to do. He doesn't grouch. And the same with the stagecoach drivers. They put up with an awful lot of hassle from some people, but they still give Exmouth a very, very good name. And I think, you know, I think actually, I must admit, when I first came down, I wasn't looking forward to it being a London girl and coming to middle of nowhere. I felt in the country lane, you know, driving the car for the first time, thinking, the car coming, what do I do here? But I think we're lucky, we're lucky with the people that live in Exmouth and the people that service Exmouth need a medal, all of them.
Tim?
Yes, all right. I'll ask a slightly different question as well this time. We've now heard from all our four candidates. Thank you very much, all four of you, for coming forward. I just wondered whether you've heard us asking questions. I think a lot of things that you have all said have chimed with the kind of thing that we're trying to do as a council. And I wondered whether you, in your reading of the local paper and following local activities, whether you thought this council was on the right track or not.
That's actually a difficult question. Was it some of the people some of the time, isn't it? Not all about
Absolutely.
Yeah. And obviously, people have their own preferences as to what they do. I mean, when you said about what would I like to change, I do feel sometimes the cycle bit, you know, it's lovely to make like Bovril. But I live along Sorterton Road where there's several places for the elderly, and now McCarthy Stone is being built there. It's a very narrow pavement, and a lot of people have their wheelchairs, and people still ride their bicycles on the pedestrian. And I'm afraid I've had, you know, a few times when I've said, this is for pedestrians in the road. And actually had to stand up with somebody one day who refused to get into the road, and I have stood there with my name Jack Russell thinking, my dog had licked you to death, he wouldn't bite you if you attacked me. But the next day I saw him and he was in the road cycling. And it is difficult because, you know, you have it with COVID distancing. But if we're having another big complex for the elderly, then I think safety is one of the priorities. That's my feelings with that, especially people in wheelchairs and walkers. I'm sorry, I do go on a bit here, don't I? I thought you said keep quiet and don't say anything.
Any other questions?
Andrew. Completely candidate comes from arts and entertainment background.
Yes.
How do you see the festival developing in the future?
Well, I think it's wonderful what is being done. I mean, the Pride Festival, my daughter came along, I think she's joined the committee. And what was so lovely is to see so many people there, families with children, having a wonderful time. And the people who work very, very hard to do that. And Exmouth, when they do festivals, I think, if I know this, they sort of, you still get people that moan about things like that, don't you? It's noisy, late night music. But why not? We need something to keep us going. You know, we've had a few years where nothing's been going on. And people do work hard backstage, you know, the people at the back of things, like the museum, you know, people work very, very hard to keep the museum going. And I don't think people realise that there are all those volunteers out there that are willing to give all their time to help people and to keep Exmouth as it is. It's better and better. I want to make moving back to London.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not good.
Thank you. No, that's fine. Have we got no further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for listening.
You're the chair.
Yeah, what was the question?
Could she update an answer that she'd given during her presentation?
You want to correct something or update it?
Louise just wanted to update something.
I couldn't think of the word, but it was infrastructure. Was the
Do you want to come and use the mic, Louise?
Sure.
It's Ollie's discretion. Easier. He's chairing the meeting. It's his discretion.
Yeah, okay. Louisa's asked if she could just update one of her answers. I think she's gone back, sat down, and thought, oh, I wish I'd said that.
That was the word I'm looking for.
I don't know whether other people feel that is appropriate. But we'll give all the candidates the same option, if you like. So if anybody feels they'd like to correct or update an answer that they gave, let's do that, Louise. So.
Thank you.
Which question was it?
It was Maddie's question, the word I was looking for was infrastructure. That would be the one thing, and which is related to the housing. But I really feel that it needs updating and improving in terms of schools, sewers, dentists, doctors, and that kind of thing. That to coincide with more housing, or the housing. That was it. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody else want to update their one wish? Diane got the first one, and everybody was kind of pre-warned by them, but everybody's happy with their answers. In that case, we'll proceed to seek proposers and seconders for each of the candidates. So, candidates, it's up to you whether you wish to stay in the room. I just want to say this could be painful, but please don't take anything personally. Ultimately, we can only appoint one person tonight. So it's up to you, but unfortunately, we are going to have one successful candidate and six unsuccessful ones.
Can I ask, what's happened to Smith Mountain Grill?
The office is closed.
His application is in the list you've got.
Yeah,
I'll pull it back. We've got three people, Martin Ridgeway, Michael Byrne, I think it was, Stephen Beer, who haven't been able to attend for whatever reason they haven't attended.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So we've got the four ladies.
So what I'm going to do is go through each of the candidates, including the ones who weren't here. The ones whose applications we have and who've asked for those applications to be considered, and ask for a proposer and seconder for each one in turn. Okay? So, starting with Diane, do we have a proposer for Diane Conduit? Brian, thank you. And do we have a seconder? Maddie. Okay. Excellent, thank you. Jodie Wilkerson, do we have a proposer? Joe? Okay. And a seconder?
Steve.
Okay. Louise? I think Fred, you were first, and Graham, second. Martin Ridgeway, do we have a proposer or a seconder? No. More difficult when they're not here, isn't it? Michael Byrne? Okay. Stephen Beer? Okay. And Sue Mendham? Thank you. Andrew, thank you. Right, so we have four nominations for the four candidates. Excellent. We'll go to vote on those four candidates. So when your name is called, if you could say which of the four candidates you would like to vote for. That'll help. Okay. Then we can take each one in turn. So Chetna's going to read the list of names.
Thank you. Okay, so they're in alphabetical order, starting with Councillor Aurora Bailey, please.
So.
Councillor Brian Bailey.
Diane.
We've got apologies from Councillor Bentwright. Councillor Fred Cagle.
Louise Bentwright.
Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Louise Bentwright.
Councillor Andrew Coleman.
He's not here.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Ollie Davey.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Graham Deasy.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Tim Dumper.
Diane Condio.
Councillor Steve Gassard.
Jodie Wilkerson.
Councillor Matt Forbes.
Jodie Wilkerson.
He's not here. Ian Kirvan's not here. Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
The first one, Alice, probably.
Diane, it was.
Diane.
Councillor David Paul.
Diane Conway.
Councillor Mike Rosser.
Louise Venables.
Alex Alik is away. Councillor Pauline Stott.
Sue Minden.
Councillor Andrew Toy.
Sue Minden.
Councillor Joe Wibley.
Jodie Wilkerson.
Joe Wibbs isn't here. Councillor Daniel Wilson.
Joey Wilkerson.
And Councillor Andrew Woodward.
Joey Wilkerson.
Thank you.
So.
According to my calculations,
nobody's got 50%. No. So Sue has got the least number of votes with 3 votes.
Correct.
And then Diane's got 4, and Louise and Jodie had 5 each. So the process is that Sue gets eliminated, and then we have to vote again. So now you're voting between 3 candidates. So you're voting between Jodie, Louise, and Diane. Diane, Jodie and Louise was in the order in which they presented. Okay? Everybody clear on that? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, we're going again. Councillor Aurora Bailey, please.
Louise.
Councillor Brian Bailey.
Diane.
Councillor Anne... Oh, God, I haven't got the apologies here, so I just need to transfer these. Councillor Fred Cable.
Louise Bailey.
Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Louise Sandals.
Councillor Ollie Davey.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Graham Deasy.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Tim Dumper.
Diane Collier.
Councillor Steve Gassard.
Jodie Wilkerson.
Thank you. Councillor Matt Hall.
Jodie Wilkerson.
Councillor Cherry Nicholas. Thank you. Councillor David Paul. Thank you. Councillor Mike Rosser.
Louise Venables.
Thank you. Councillor Pauline Stott.
I'm Jodie.
Councillor Andrew Toy.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Joan Whibley.
Jodie Wilkerson.
Thank you. Councillor Daniel Wilson.
Jodie Wilkerson.
And Councillor Andrew Woodward.
Jodie Wilkerson.
Thank you.
So now we eliminate Diane and we do a third round of voting. So now you're voting between Jodie and Louise. If it's a tie, you have the casting vote.
Don't make me use it.
Okay.
So, Councillor Aurora Bailey, please.
Louise.
Councillor Brian Bailey.
Louise, thank you.
Councillor Fred Cagle.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Ollie Davey.
Louise.
Councillor Graham Deasy.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Tim Dumper.
Jodie.
Councillor Steve Gazzard.
Jodie.
Councillor Matt Hall.
Jodie.
Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
Louise Venables.
Councillor David Paul.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Mike Rosser.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Pauline Stott.
Jodie.
Councillor Andrew Toy.
Louise Venables.
Councillor Joe Whibley.
Jodie.
Councillor Daniel Wilson.
Joe Wilson.
And Councillor Andrew Woodward.
Jodie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10.
Louise. Louise got the most votes. Louise Venables. So are you happy if I bring them back in?
Yeah. Yep.
And you're
fine.
Happy to announce the results?
Sadly, yes. To my lot. Thank you, everybody. I think it's been very fair. It's a really difficult decision.
Very hard.
We really have had four excellent candidates here, and three, well, certainly two of them on paper looked very strong. I think perhaps we drew a conclusion from the fact we weren't here, and so we didn't find a proposer and a seconder, but at least it narrowed the field down and also helps the gender balance.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you all, and thank you all for your passionate and enthusiastic support for Exmouth and the people and the community and the town itself. However, I have to tell you, after three rounds of voting, we have finally managed to arrive at a successful candidate, and I can tell you the successful candidate is Louise Venables. And if we get another vacancy, please go for it, because we'd love to have you all, really. But unfortunately, we can only choose one. And so, congratulations, Louise, and Lisa will talk you through the procedure, no doubt. And we'll get you inducted. And
so, if Louise, if you're happy, we can you can sign your declaration of acceptance of office now, if you're happy to do so. So, yeah. Chetna's got it over here. So.
I haven't had any second thoughts. This is usually the moment in a job interview where I suddenly think, God, if I'm doing the job, do I want it? And I had a split second decision like that to make, which resulted in me moving 400 miles to be here
that was 40 years ago. I've never looked back. Well, I have actually. I've been back.
You're a youngster here then, aren't you?
Louise has just signed the acceptance of office, so that's good. The candidate has accepted. So thank you all for coming, thank you for your questions and for your patience, and thank you very much to the candidates. I'm sorry to those who have been unsuccessful, but we look forward to seeing you again in some other guise anyway. Thank you all, and that brings the meeting to a close. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.